Hello, dear listener. Congratulations for once again joining the Fantasy Sports Couch Euro Edition. This is actually the last episode of the Euro Edition because we are just about to witness the final of the tournament. Next to me is someone that has watched alongside me most of the tournament, and that's Julia.
Yes, hello, hello again.
Julia, are you sad about the tournament ending?
Not sad. I'm less excited at this point. I don't know if anyone shares my opinion, but as you might remember, I was rooting for Belgium, and now that Belgium was taken out of the tournament, yes, I might lack a bit of excitement today.
It's been a pretty long tournament, and we will be previewing the final between Italy and England in a second. But before we do that, let's actually go to our regular advice columns. Boy, that stinks! And in this case, as soon as we hear the sound effects, there we go. Boy, that stinks that our favorite teams got knocked out. Like you said, Belgium is out. Portugal never felt like they got started, did they? But instead, we got a few surprises. One of them was Denmark, which actually leads us into our other segment, talking about the reviews for the semifinals. What'd you make of them?
England-Denmark. Yes, that was a very interesting... I was actually hoping that Denmark would win that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, they were close. I mean, they scored the first goal, right?
Yeah, they did. And it seemed like they had plenty of chances to win, right?
Not really. I mean, they didn't really create a lot of chances at all. But... It was a pretty even game, and most people would agree that England won by a penalty that didn't really happen by Raheem Sterling. I think that after this, really England supporters should never complain about refereeing ever again.
Yeah, I think that was unfair, and I think it was obvious even for the fans of England that that wasn't a fair penalty, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think even they know it.
And it's ironic. I mean, their biggest success, the only success they had, is in the World Cup when they won by a goal that didn't really happen in 1966.
Is that the goal you told me about with the hand?
No, that's
the other. Sorry,
that's the one that Maradona scored against them. That's what I'm saying. I think it'll be only fair for Lorenzo Insigne to score a handball against England this time and win it. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We were actually traveling, which is the reason why we didn't do a review of the quarterfinals, as we promised. But I did get a chance to see Italy and Spain. I was actually in the city of Plovdiv. And it was a very interesting game. I know you didn't see it, so I'm just going to say a few words. Spain completely dominated possession. Italy just barely hung on, managed to score one through a counter-attack, and somehow, through maybe luck, maybe experience, made it through by the penalties. They weren't the better side in this one, as was the case in the other matches previously.
You're talking about Italy?
I am, yes.
Okay, yes. Well, and then how come they managed to get this far to the finals of the Euro 2020 if they barely managed to win against Spain? And I think there were some other games in which they weren't exactly like the best ever team, but somehow they just won.
I think that's a matter of opinion. I'd say the same about England. I don't think they were that good really in this tournament. Maybe it's going to show in the final. I think Italy were very good. I think against Spain they just knew that their strength wasn't going to lie in possession football. Spain is just too good in terms of passing. So they just kind of laid back. I think it's, you know, Italy deserves a place here, even though maybe they were a bit annoying, like at the time that they kind of took out 15 minutes against Belgium. The last 15 minutes through, you know, just kind of squandered those 15 minutes. As for England, I'm not sure they were ever that good, but of course this is a momentous occasion. They're finally in the they're finally in the final.
The final, yeah. And actually, it's really funny because everybody at this point believes that football is coming home, and all I can see from my English friends on social media are some like jokes about the game, the football coming home, and how all flights are cancelled for Rome and stuff like that. It's hilarious. They won't let it go. I don't know. It's hilarious to see their engagement in this competition, although they're not watching football on a regular basis.
Yeah, of course, it becomes like a national pastime at this point.
Yes.
Although, you know, since England does have the greatest league in the world, I'd say it kind of makes sense that they'd finally reach, you know, the last leg of a competition. But we'll just see. Do you have any prognosis about the results?
Well, it's... anything could happen, realistically speaking, but at this point I believe that Italy does have a greater chance of bringing football to Rome.
Right, they were the most impressive, the more impressive of the two.
Yes, obviously, and I think everybody, I mean, they all think about it, even the English team thinks about it, but then again, this is a tournament and the things that happen don't reflect the actual strength and creativity and potential of a team, so probably, you know, it's a bit of luck, even England can take football home, so I'm
right.
Not sure.
It's that thing about a knockout tournament, right, where even if you have a great team, like you mentioned Belgium or Portugal, you might get handed a tougher draw.
Exactly.
I don't think England, though, I'll say this and not criticize them too much, but I think their draw in the World Cup 3 years ago and this one was very easy. I mean, they did have to go, they barely beat Denmark, but let's face it, Denmark on paper are not the biggest opponent. They beat Czech Republic.
Yeah.
They beat Germany, who aren't in the best position. This is like the best time to play Germany, really.
Yeah.
And in the group stage, they only shone against Croatia. And that was the first game where Croatia were very defensive minded, I think. So it will be interesting. At the same time, you do have players like Kane and Sterling, Maguire, you know, world class players that could do it for England.
Yes, but actually I'm a bit afraid of saying what I think we all see in these teams, but the thing is that, like, no judging, the English team I think is just too blunt.
Right.
It has no, like,
finesse.
No sparkle. No, nothing. I mean, probably it has to do a lot with the coaching. I'm not really sure how that works. I think Gareth Southgate, it's probably a very good coach, but it lacks any kind of creative initiative. So, that's what we see when they play, what I see. And really, it gets me quite bored after some minutes.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at like their number of chances created per game, I mean, obviously Italy, except for the match against Spain, and maybe they had to do it because Spain is so good, but Italy created a lot of chances, scored a lot of goals.
Yes.
England scored a bunch of goals too, but the overall feeling was that they were very, they always took precaution
exactly.
against being scored against.
I don't remember much of their goals. Like, I think in the last game,
they scored a lot against Ukraine, but
yes.
Let's face it, Ukraine was a team that they didn't even think they were going to go through.
Exactly.
When the group stage ended, they thought they were eliminated. So to play against England, that was just like a huge bonus.
I think at this point, yeah. Well, it just happened like a few weeks ago, and I tried to remember some of the games, and it's just, it's a total cloud. I have a mental fog when it comes to this part of the tournament. If you're asking me about Belgium, Germany, or Portugal, like the most exciting teams, then I do remember quite a lot of the phase. I also remember the most creative goals from unexpected teams such as Ukraine, but or the very defensive game of Sweden. But then when you ask me about the most boring teams, and there are quite a few, unfortunately, this is how it is in a football tournament. I think I don't remember much.
Right.
And
Well, plus it's been so much football. I mean, I'm sort of used to it, but if you think about it, this is, I think, the 51st game. So there were 51
wow,
games in this tournament.
a
It
lot of games.
lasted for almost a month with football played almost every single day. So just a lot of football. Let me give my prognosis as well. I think England could surprise us, but overall, if this is an open game, I'd expect the Italian midfielders to control this game, and if Insigne and Chiesa or Berardi, whoever plays on the right, if they're in a really good mood that day, I think they could score quickly against England, and that would change the game. I think Italy's gonna win this one.
Okay, then I have to qu ask you, like, what do you think is gonna be the final score?
I think, you know what? I think a 2-0. I think like
Two
Italy.
nil?
2-0, 2-0. I
Two
think
nil.
Italy's gonna score quickly.
Okay.
They're maybe gonna score another one on the counter-attack. And you
Okay.
know, Italy does one thing really well that you
Yeah.
don't like, which is like they defend and they just cut the minutes down. Even if it means, you know, faking injuries, just kicking the ball in the stands, whatever. So I think they're just gonna score one or two goals quickly and then they're just gonna kill the game and England is just gonna wear itself out. But the weird thing is this is the way England's played as well.
Yes.
So we might get one of those games where nothing happens for 90 minutes and we go all the way to penalties. I wouldn't be surprised at that either. If it goes all the way to penalties, I think, you know, penalties are a lottery, sure. But if you look at the goalkeepers, Donnarumma, with all due respect, is a much better goalkeeper than Jordan Pickford, I think. Which is also why England couldn't go to the penalty shootout against Denmark. Kasper Schmeichel, the Danish keeper, you know, he saved Harry Kane's, let's not forget, Harry Kane's penalty
Yeah.
before Kane scored on rebound. So I think Denmark would have actually won that if it had gone to the penalties.
Okay. So they're kind of afraid of the penalty, so they're gonna try their best to score during the time.
I think so. I think so. So
Yeah.
I'm thinking Italy to win this. I don't know if it's, you know, the most fair of results, but like I said, in a knockout competition, things like this do have to happen just because there's so much football and, you know, you don't get to choose your schedule. So a team like Belgium, maybe they just had bad luck
Yes.
of the draw. Let's actually talk really quickly about the championship overall. I thought we'd mention what we were disappointed about, and maybe what we were thankful to see. And in my case, one of the things I was disappointed about, and these are kind of obvious, is Netherlands. They won their three games of the group. They swiftly got eliminated by the Czech Republic, and I could see it coming. It's just a team that's not organized at all, although they have good players. And I really liked Patrick Schick from the Czech Republic, who might end the tournament as joint top goal scorer with Cristiano Ronaldo. I know you were pretty disappointed about Germany and Belgium, I guess.
Yes, I was. But things are done and said, and they're all back home at this point watching the Euro 2020 on their TVs. But I think Belgium still has one of the best team, if not the best team in the tournament. So, you know, it was just bad luck.
And in the end, I mean, we talked really badly about Switzerland, but obviously they had that incredible comeback against France. Well deserved, actually, I think.
Yeah,
They
that was
qualified.
very
And
impressive.
they could have gone through even more. They went to the penalties against Spain, so that was
Yes.
bad luck not to go through.
Exactly.
I think this is, we always talk about Switzerland disappointing us, although they have good players.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think this time they didn't. They deserve praise.
Actually, yes, I remember we were not expecting Switzerland to perform well at all during our first podcast about them. And now, looking back, I have to say I was actually hoping they will gonna manage to beat Spain. That was what I was secretly hoping for. Obviously, it's a huge thing for them, I think. Have they ever reached the quarterfinals before?
I don't think so. I think they're for the last few years they've always seemed like a team with immense potential. I always compare them to Belgium. And obviously, I think this is an obvious one, but what really impressed me in this tournament was Denmark and just. It shows the strength of morale and of having supporters backing you. Really, Denmark, not only did they have that traumatic incident with Christian Eriksen, but let's face it, Christian Eriksen is their best player. And they did it without their best player. And I still maintain that the goal England scored against them, of course, England dominated that game, but that wasn't a penalty. So, you know. Take that out of the equation, and Denmark could have maybe even won this. Who knows?
Exactly. I agree.
Tremendous, tremendous story, I think. Let's finish this since this is the fantasy sports scout by talking a bit about the fantasy aspects. I had a pretty good run in fantasy football, especially in football coin. Some wins, some losses. The fact that I traveled made it harder to follow the games. I'm actually going to give you my suggested team for this final, so a combination of Italy and England. I'm actually playing a 5-3-2. I'm getting both Bonucci and Chiellini in there, the Italian experience. I'm getting Maguire, Luke Shaw, and Stones as defenders, as well with Kyle Walker as a substitute. I was really impressed with Luke Shaw this tournament and surprised.
Yes, you always talk not so nice things about him, so this time I think he did a wonderful job, didn't he?
Yes. Me and Mourinho, we're Luke Shaw's biggest critics. But yes, he did a very good job. I'm getting all the three Italian midfielders that most likely will play: Nicolò Barella, Jorginho, and Marco Verratti. There's still a question mark about whether Verratti or Locatelli will play. I really like them. I think they'll dominate the possession here. I'm getting Declan Rice as a substitute. And in attack, since, like I mentioned, strikers in football coin, they don't really score that many points unless they score goals. Ciro Immobile, he hasn't really been scoring. Harry Kane, okay, he's been scoring lately, but he didn't score in the group stages. So I'm getting Kane as a substitute, but I'm getting Lorenzo Insigne and Raheem Sterling in attack because let's face it, they're not really pure attackers. They're more like really offensive midfielders, really offensive wingers.
So you're talking about their real position in the real game in football, but in the fantasy football game, they are labeled as forwards. So that's why you're putting them, you're using these players as forwards and not Harry Kane or
Or
Immobile.
Ciro Immobile, yeah, exactly. Because you know Immobile, for example, his style of play is just to wait for the ball and just look for space to run into the goal area. And when he doesn't get that and he doesn't score goals, he doesn't make a lot of points. He
He
doesn't score a lot of points.
doesn't really
He
move,
doesn't contribute that much.
contribute to the game, so then he doesn't get the points in the fantasy football game, and then your card with that player doesn't get a lot of doesn't help your team overall, so it's better to, not use him if you have other options like you have.
Yeah, on the other hand, Insigne and Sterling, they're always getting the ball, they're always contributing to the attack, and they're really like the last step before, the killer pass towards the striker.
So basically, a lot of successful passes, a lot of hard passes as well. So basically, all of those things are scored in football coin, in the fantasy football game. So basically, overall, it helps your team perform better.
I think so. I think the tiny things like passes, shots on goal, everything that's done successfully, counts towards the final score in something as complex as football coin.
Exactly.
On the other hand, I'm still watching the UEFA Euro Fantasy version.
Yes.
I've gotten I've got 244 points,
that's a lot
which
of points.
I'm not sure whether it's good or bad because they don't really have a leaderboard. I couldn't see it, but I'll have to replace all of my players. I think I have one wild card, so basically I'm taking out most of my squad. I don't think I made any changes ahead of the semifinals, so that's mostly it. But the difference here, I think, especially, is that the players score points when they score goals or they provide assists, things like that. So it's much simpler, or they have a clean sheet. So let's see if this actually works. I guess it does because I have the wild card. I'm gonna play a 4-4-2 here, just make it a lot more basic. Donnarumma, I'm gonna put in goal, Pickford as a substitute. When it comes to defenders, I'm gonna go for Italians if I can. So let me see. I'm gonna avoid 3PA if I can. Let's see if I manage to get Chiellini and Bonucci and still get like a good make it within the budget that I have.
So right now you're actually also playing the UEFA fantasy game, so you're playing two fantasy football games, just to make it clear one more time. You're basically playing Football Coin as your main fantasy football game choice, and then you also play the UEFA Euro 2020 fantasy game just for the fun of it. It's a lot simpler, so you just have to, you have a budget and you have to pick your players using that budget. But I'm guessing you're doing it just for fun, just to see what happens, because I don't think there's a real win out of this game. It's just like
I think they
nice
have some
thing.
Like prizes, but the thing that kind of I didn't particularly like is that I didn't see the leaderboard, so I don't see how well I'm doing.
I might be wrong, but I think at some point I clicked someplace.
Yeah, you did.
Where I saw some sort of ranking, but then again, now I'm looking at it and I don't know where that was. So it was a complete accident how I found that. Anyway, I think there are some prizes for the players of UEFA's fantasy football game. But what I want to stress on is that it's just more for fun. It's not really a big thing. So it's like a, you know, fun thing to do if you're really into football.
Yeah,
it's
true.
More like
that's
that.
True.
But if you're really into football, like you know a lot of stuff, not just during the European Championship or the World Cup, which is going to be next year, by the way, because it got the Euro got delayed for 1 year. So now next year we're going to have a major
tournament again.
Tournament again.
Yeah.
It's going to be really funny and fun, and because we're going to spend another month next year around this time watching football all over again. But for the fantasy football game that we normally use and play during the normal league play, how is it called?
Yeah,
tournaments.
Just the season, I guess.
The normal season. For that, we play Football Coin, and it's not because it's just more complex and it gives you a lot of option, and it's basically a daily fantasy game. It's also really interesting that it's free to play. Of course, you do have a lot of players which are not exactly free, but during a normal season you can choose from the free players, and it's really easy to rank and win some prizes with those free players. And the most interesting part is that whatever you win in the game is actually a cryptocurrency token. It's which you can take it, you can exchange it on the exchanges that they work with the game. It's like you can see it in the game. I'm not gonna explain it really right now, but it's like really easy to get it out of there. And if you're really good, you can basically make like a, you know, a smaller monthly income out of the game for free. And I think that's it's not about the money as much. Well, it could be if you're making a lot and you're really good, but it's more like as a reward because you're really, good at football. So somebody's actually award it's it awards you for your football knowledge. And I think as a football enthusiast like you are and some of our friends, it's kind of that's the thing, the main attraction point.
Yeah, because there's so much more to keep track of, like I mentioned, and there are so many more options to have a to create your strategy, just because it takes into account everything that a player does well and badly. So, for example, there was I'll just give you like a quick example before we end. I really liked North Macedonia, and I was watching them. And if you watch North Macedonia, you probably noticed just the bravery of their players. I'm actually having like a brain fart right now. It wasn't Elmas, but what's the name of the player that plays for Leeds United and is North Macedonian? And he's like not the captain, but he took like that penalty kick. Alioski, right? Ezgan
Alioski.
Alioski. Alioski always got the ball. He was like their in a way like their playmaker. But he missed like half of the passes he got, like routinely. And if you looked at the points he got in Football Coin, he just wasn't very good for it.
Because
Because.
he missed the passes?
Exactly. Because he's like really fun to watch because he just goes in there and he falls over and he keeps asking for the ball. So like that's cool. But he keeps messing up like tiny things. Right, yeah.
Basically, that's a really good example of how the game works. So it's not really, it doesn't matter that much if you're using really the famous players, the players that everybody knows from a team or whatever. It's and most of the times those players are even they have like special cards, so probably you're not gonna afford them at the beginning, but that's actually even better because the most famous players people have a lot of expectation from them and then they mess up and then they don't score as much as other normal regular players do.
I mean, for sure, like we talked about Patrick Schick. I think he was the best striker in this tournament. He's probably gonna finish like top striker next to Ronaldo, unless Harry Kane or Sterling score a lot of goals here. And Patrick Schick was free, and not only that, but a lot of people just they didn't know about Patrick Schick. Let's be honest,
Exactly.
and he did so well. And there are other players like that you can mention. I think a lot of them from Denmark. Damsgaard, who scored that beautiful goal against England, had a great tournament.
I have to admit something. I don't know all the players as well as you do, but fortunately, after the first game of a tournament or in the season or whatever, you have the filter with the players that you can filter the players based on their last score of their last
Yeah,
game.
right.
So basically, the thing is, if they played really well in the last game, you can choose them for your next stage in the tournament, but it's really it's also really important to take a look at their opponents, like the team that they're playing against,
Yeah.
so that can also affect their overall performance. But
I know that you mentioned this. I know you really like computer games and games in general.
oh
You're good at
yes.
chess and things like that. And I think you mentioned to me once that, during this Euro, you finally found a reason to really like football because you told me, it's kind of like watching chess with real people. It's
Yes.
really about strategy. It's not so much
At
about.
this point in time, it's not about 11 players running around after football. It's more of a strategy. And as you mentioned, if you're able to see the pitch from above, as you would from a drone, for instance, not the way they show it on TV, but from actually from the above, from the roof of the stadium, then you could clearly see the players moving around and the formation they're always in and how they're keeping the opponents and blocking their passes. It's really interesting and it gives you a much better perspective over the players that will perform best, the players that do have spaces to do something creative and eventually lead to a goal. It's so much interesting. Yeah, from that perspective, but I have to thank you for opening this new perspective to me because otherwise I would just see people running around after a ball and screaming.
And the thing is, Mancini and Southgate, they were good players. But a lot of the top managers now, they weren't really PR football players are very good.
Oh,
I
yeah,
mean, you know,
exactly.
we talked about it before, but a lot of the new German managers, they barely played. Jose Mourinho barely played.
Yeah.
There are a bunch of them. People are figuring it out that it's not really about
your experience as a football player that makes
right.
you a great coach.
I mean, of course, if you're someone like Zidane, who everyone respects, obviously you get like a foot forward, but you still gotta create those tactics.
Exactly.
And you still gotta explain them
exactly.
to, you know, to people.
And
so
to
essentially,
your players.
It's like you're a chess master and you're having to explain the moves to your chess pieces in
yes.
a way, right?
But I think it's even more complicated than that, because when you play chess, you're the only one managing your team and you just move the pieces and the pieces just stay put wherever you put them.
They don't yell at you back though. No.
Exactly. But on a football pitch, then if your players, you know, they get tired or they get injured, God forbid, or something else happens, then at some point they might know the strategy that you're playing, but they might not be able to follow it through. So yeah, it's kind of a pity here.
Will you be missing the Euros?
Not really, because as I mentioned, next year we're gonna have the World Cup again.
Yeah.
I remember my first World Cup with you. It was football nonstop, and I said, "Oh my God, is this how my life's gonna look like from now on?" Every 2 years, apparently yes.
I'll be honest with you. When the tournament started for me, I thought this is too much football. And I wanted to watch every single game, which I nearly did.
Yes.
I only missed a couple. But it was a very enjoyable Euro. And I sort of will miss it, because I kind of made like a schedule around it
mm-hmm.
of work and everything else. I will miss it. And I think it's actually going to increase my enjoyment of watching the new season, club football-wise. There were some sore points. Of course, there always are. But overall, it was very enjoyable.
Are we going to end this series here with the Euro 2020, or are we going to post another podcast about it? Because I'm curious if we should just put all our stories about Euro 2020 in this podcast, or shall we wait for the next one?
I think the best thing to do, if you're keen on it, is to continue the Fantasy Sports Scout, because it did run before the Euros as well. We're going to probably continue with next season. Hopefully you will be joining me on every occasion, or more than a few occasions. And we're going to have a great season. And obviously in 1 year's time, we're going to have the World Cup, which sounds terrifically exciting. Oh, by the way, if you're watching football today and you're in Europe and you have the stamina, maybe you're going to want to watch Brazil play Argentina. It's in our time, it's like 3 a.m. in the morning.
I think
but it's the final of Copa America.
It's done. You don't know?
Isn't it played today?
No, it was yesterday.
Was it yesterday? Don't tell me what happened.
Oh, I know who won.
Okay, tell us.
Oh my God.
I didn't. I was so sure it was going to be today. And I wasn't reading the news specifically.
Come on. Okay,
I'm
sure, because I have to admit that on my Facebook I'm in some football fantasy groups. Yeah.
I did not know.
Eddie just googled it and now he's really shocked.
Wow.
Well, but come on, Messi had the wonderful chance opportunity.
I'm gonna watch this.
The
now.
Replay.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch the replay.
Yeah, he had the wonderful chance to hold the cup. He looked very
wow.
happy in the photos, but basically it was all over my Facebook and Instagram and social media. Yeah.
He finally won a trophy.
He looks really happy.
He deserves it, I guess.
Okay, I'm not really sure, but I think that he played against Neymar, right?
He did.
Okay.
He should have.
Because
I didn't watch it.
That's why I'm asking. So basically, Messi's.
But Brazil won last time with Neymar, so I
exactly,
guess
exactly.
It evens out.
Yeah, I even saw some statistics that if you count all their cups, I don't know, there are some tournaments over there and other cups. They're like they have the same amount of wins
trophies.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Which
that's
is
cool.
18.
That was silly of me. I guess, you know, all the traveling and all the tiredness
that's
is getting
to
me.
That's why you have me, to tell you what you miss.
Right. And on that note, That's it for us. Thanks for listening. And we will be back soon.
When?
I guess in just 1 or 2 weeks, because the new season is starting. So we got to get a move on that.
Okay, so I hope, you know, probably Italy's going to win. See you soon. We're going to talk about the most important tournaments, more important and more exciting than the Euro 2020.
We might do like a wrap up of the final, like a very short episode.
Okay, maybe 10 minutes.
Let's see. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll do something.
In case we don't, I just want to share really quickly that during our normal football watching time, we normally watch a lot of Premier League, of
I watch some Serie A, some Bundesliga.
Spanish.
And when the football was out because of the pandemic, when they started playing, I was watching like games from the Belarusian league.
Okay, no.
Like no. We need football.
Yeah, well, we are not gonna watch that. So we are gonna talk about the Premier League, Serie A.
Probably Bundesliga,
La Liga from Spain,
Liga from France. Those are the big five ones that we
main
watch.
Leagues from the European clubs. Also, I have to mention we are big fans of Manchester United, but you know
we are. But we are objective ones. Like for example, are at least two Manchester United players active tonight. Actually, two. I think it's Luke Shaw and Maguire, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm still more impressed with Italy.
Yes.
So we're objective fans. Right?
Yes.
And maybe so. Harry Kane. Maybe that's the third Manchester United player. Who knows?
Who knows? You're still hoping. Secretly hoping. Okay. Yeah. So have a great time today watching the final of Euro 2020 and talk to you soon. Thank you for listening. This was Julia and Edward. Bye.
Goodbye.